hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Coach Cafe, the Law of Attraction place to meet on Wednesday, April 4th. I'm your co-host, Estrar Roel, America's Life, known as America's Life Purpose Coach, coming to you live from Charlottesville, Virginia, along with co-host
Kathleen Martin, known as your on-track life coach and your awesome health and wellness coach, coming to you live from the beautiful Hamptons, New York.
And we are on the air every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we welcome our listeners to join in on the conversation by posting questions or comments in the chat room or by calling in at 646-649-1015. That's 646-649-1015. And we'd like to thank the listeners who've chosen to follow us and remind you that if you like what you hear and you're not already following us, you can follow Coach Cafe by simply clicking the follow button located on the show page under our picture, and then you'll be notified of each of our shows. And tonight we are very happy to welcome Rachel Grant as our guest. Rachel is a trauma recovery and relationship coach, and we're going to fully introduce her in just a minute. But for now, I would like to introduce my wonderful co-host, Kathleen Martin, who is a passionate, certified life and wellness coach who spent her life helping people to get on track and stay on track to allowing optimal health and wellness in all areas of life, body, mind, and spirit. She's the founder of Limitless Life Coaching and the Awesome Health and Wellness Club, as well as being a trained happiness generator workshop facilitator, teaching the 7 steps to happiness from the inside out, from the highly acclaimed book Happy for No Reason by Marcy Shymoff. Kathleen is also the author of the e-book Understanding Universal Laws 101, The Missing Education, and The Longevity Blueprint. So if you want to experience real changes in your life and health, you can get in touch with Kathleen at www.limitlesslifecoaching.com.
Well, thanks, Estra. And I am going to return the admiration by introducing my wonderful co-host, Estra Roel, is the founder of America's Life Purpose Coach. She is also a certified Law of Attraction Life Coach, advanced Psyche facilitator, and co-author of the book 101 Great Ways to Enhance Your Career. Estra offers one-to-one life purpose coaching, the Love Course Workshop on the 7 steps to creating a life of unconditional love based on the book Love for No Reason by Marcy Shymoff, and webinars and talks on life purpose and the law of attraction. Her passion is definitely helping her clients to get in touch with their passions and highest purpose in order to live the lives they love.
So I'd like to introduce Rachel Grant. Rachel is the owner and founder of Rachel Grant Coaching and is a trauma recovery and relationship coach. With her support, clients learn to identify and break patterns of thought and behavior that keep them from recovering from past sexual abuse or making changes in their relationships. Rachel holds an MA in counseling psychology. Rachel is a member of the International Coach Federation and San Francisco Coaches. So welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Estra. Thank you. Thank you
so
much for that wonderful introduction.
Just to start with, how did you arrive at where you are now to specialize in trauma recovery and relationship coaching?
Well, it's been a little bit of a windy road, to be sure. In my, younger years, I had, big visions of being an English professor and teaching high school English. And as I just kind of walked through my journey and discovered various things about the type of interaction that I like to have with both students and people in general, I really started to notice that what I liked the most was, the time after school with the kids, where we were kind of just talking about their lives and what was going on and the whole person kind of aspect of the mentoring that was going on there. And when I moved to California and had the opportunity to kind of just take on a whole new role in life, I actually decided to work as a nanny for a while and focus very specifically on just the child development of 2 children. For 7 years, I did that. And, as they were growing up and I was thinking, wow, this is a really wonderful journey that I've been on with them, learning about development and kind of taking little people and turning them into human beings, I thought, I wonder if I can do that with older people. And what are those areas in life that, you know, I think I could have a voice in, and I would have something to say to people who are, you know, struggling in various areas in their lives. And as I started to really think about my own journey in what had made the biggest difference for me and what had been my struggles, I really started to notice that, you know, this world of recovery I was very drawn to that and wanted to dig more deeply into that. And, you know, I had gone through my own journey of being sexually abused when I was 10 and had spent most of my 20s, you know, just trying to sort it out, trying to come to an understanding of what had happened and wading through basically all of the, you know, effects of the abuse. And in my mid-20s, I had kind of reached a place where I understood, you know, what had gone on, and I was able to identify a lot of the patterns and a lot of why, you know, for instance, I didn't trust people. But I had this real sense that I was just kind of surviving. I wasn't really yet living my life. I wasn't really expressing myself powerfully and authentically. And I was very much, you know, as I was talking to a friend one day, they were kind of giving me accolades for, you know, you're a survivor, you've been persevering, you're strong. And I just remember thinking, God, I don't want to survive my life. I'd really like to live it. And all of the support and guidance I've been getting from therapy and from other books and experiences were helping me draw connections between the abuse and my current experience, but they were leaving out the answers to one very critical question, which for me was, well, so what do I do about it? You know, how do I actually, I recognize what's going on, but how do I actually break free of these patterns? And so once I discovered the answer to that question, I basically set out to answer that question. And hence going to school and going to workshops and doing tons of reading and just reflecting on my own journey. And so then I just landed on it and said, yeah, okay, I think I have pulled together all of the pieces and decided, you know, this is really what I want to focus on, this trauma recovery coaching. And so I wrote the book, Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse, which is, you know, really based on everything that I've learned along the way. And it's also still full of the tools that I use to this day. And, you know, there's kind of a natural relationship between, a connection between this work and relationship coaching, because how we're relating to others is really crucial to improving our overall quality of lives. So oftentimes clients come to me because they're having breakdowns in their relationships, but when you dig a little deeper, there's past abuse there that hasn't been really worked through yet. So there's a lot of kind of crossover in these two worlds. So communication skills, boundaries, all of those things that can be impacted by abuse that show up in relationships.
Wow.
So go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Estra.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, Rachel, why you've chosen to use coaching as opposed to traditional therapeutic models with your clients. And, you know, could you explain to us how coaching is different from, say, psychotherapy?
Sure. Yeah, when I decided, okay, it's time to go back to school, I want to do this professionally, I'd actually built out the Beyond Surviving course and been running through it a couple of times in just kind of a free-form way. But I decided, all right, it's time to get serious about this and really, you know, focus in on. So I went to school, and I started out in the, you know, Master's in Family and Therapy track to go on to be a licensed therapist. But as I was going through the courses and having conversations with people and reflecting on my own kind of what it is that I really like about interacting with others, I began to notice that therapy just wasn't quite the right approach. It didn't offer me the right venue for connecting with the clients in the way that I really wanted to. So, first of all, that's because one of the things that I really wanted to build into my program was being able to share my story, talk about the days that were hard for me, the days that I struggled, the patterns that I was in, you know, how I struggled with anger and depression and these different things, because for me, as I was going through the journey, I kept looking around going, is there somebody here that can kind of model for me what it looks like? Like, what does it actually even look like to feel complete and okay and be, you know, recovered and healed from abuse? And so I want the people who are reading my book or who are working with me as clients to be able to relate to me, not as somebody who, you know, it feels distant and apart, but as somebody who is up close and personal and gets their story and gets the struggle and can say, yeah, I had those days. And in therapy, just because of the legal limitations, you're really discouraged from doing that. I think the other aspect of it is that, you know, therapy I think of as kind of moving a dysfunctional person to a place of functioning, whereas coaching for me is a bit more like taking a functioning person and just moving them, giving them that extra boost to really kind of achieve a greater level of freedom or connection or authenticity or, you know, just getting unstuck. So like that aspect. I wasn't so interested in kind of diagnosing and treating in that way. I wanted to just help people identify, these are kind of, these are the patterns that you're stuck in. Here's why you are. And now here are some real tools that you can use and take out into your world and begin practicing with. I didn't want to just be in a conversation. I wanted to see them actually going out and, you know, putting it into action in their lives.
Right. And we can definitely relate to that, Rachel, because, I mean, we're life coaches. We're certified life coaches. And the same thing attracted me where, you know, there's a lot of help out there. It's wonderful that there's so much to choose from. But to really give people skills and tools to use, you know, where you it's going to have going to make a difference, and it's self-empowering was what I think is really one of the true benefits of coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the challenges for me at this point is, you know, helping people to understand how coaching can help in this particular area, because it is more traditionally thought of as a therapist's job, right?
Right.
But time and time again, what I hear from my clients, you know, I work with a very particular type of client. I work with a client who has been around that mountain, right? Mm-hmm. They're not so early on in their recovery that they're just now talking about it. They've only just now identified themselves as somebody who is abused. It's more like the people who they've tried lots of different things, you know, they've had lots of different, you know, different approaches for trying to handle these, you know, patterns of emotions and thoughts, and just kind of keep seem to going back and forth and back and forth around that mountain. And so that's why I call that stage beyond surviving. It's like that movement from you're aware and you're conscious and you notice what's going on to you're really ready to challenge and get into action around that. And so a lot of my clients who come to me are relieved because they are kind of past that point of just wanting to talk about it, reflect, gain insight. They really need those tools and skills. And that's why coaching is so powerful in this particular area, because, you know, giving them communication skills, thought exercises, affirmations, those sorts of things just can make all of the difference for them.
Right, and you were talking about, you know, breaking some patterns of thought and belief around the trauma that maybe is keeping them stuck. How do you go about, I mean, you don't have to go into detail, but just kind of briefly, how do you go about helping them with, because I think as a coach, I guess what I'm thinking of is, you know, in therapy, my understanding is, you know, it's a diagnosable condition that therapists are working with, whereas a coach is working with people who, as you say, are at a certain point of, you know, doing okay, but kind of stuck in certain areas and not moving forward with their lives in as full a way as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it is about, you know, for everybody, it's about those beliefs that we develop. And certainly if somebody's been through a trauma, you know, they have certain beliefs, perhaps about themselves and the world, that that are keeping them stuck. So,
you've got that right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. In fact, the way I describe it sometimes is that, you know, the abuse occurs, particularly if we're talking about childhood abuse. You are abused as a young child, and then you basically kind of take over for the abuser. You pick up the baton of abuse, and you continue on the path of thinking, you know, you're not valuable, you're not worthy, you can't do anything right. Whatever kind of messages or ideas that you kind of came about as a result of your abuse, you continue on. And so once you reach me as an adult, as a client, you know, our job is basically to identify what those thoughts are that are running the show in the background, right? And so, you know, how we get at those thoughts, we come at them from quite a few different angles. So the program, would you let me just talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Go into that. So the, you know, the Beyond Surviving program is basically 16 sessions. So, you know, kind of starts in the foundational area where we're talking about how the brain is wired as a result of abuse and the techniques then for challenging that wiring. So on a very, you know, basic biological level, whenever we have an experience and we're developing a memory and association at that moment, the neuronal pathways in our brain become connected and then basically are reignited over and over and over again and reinforced through time. And so that's why we sometimes have that sensation of, okay, I'm going to walk this path, and when I start to get angry, I usually go left, and I really don't like left anymore. It doesn't work for me. It's upsetting. I really want to move right. And then the next time that we approach something like anger, we're like, okay, we're going to go right. We're going to go right. And then we get there, and we go left. Because, you know, on that neurological level, the brain is saying, nope, this is the way I'm wired, and this is the way I want to go. And so, you know, my job and the work that I do with my clients is to give them the skills and the tools to, first of all, notice which way they're wired. Like, what is your direction that you tend to go in? What are the thoughts that are driving you? And then the skills and tools for challenging that. So, you know, we basically do things like separating out in any situation what is actually happening and the meaning or interpretation that you're developing as a result. That because oftentimes when we have an experience, it's our interpretation that influences the way we see it, the way we perceive it, the way we respond to it. And our perceptions or our interpretations are so tied to our wiring. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah. And so we kind of come at these various topics like trust, intimacy, vulnerability, anger, fear, all through the lens of how has your thinking and how has your wiring been so become, you know, what is it in that particular area? And how can we then challenge it, and what, you know, skills or tools can you use? What can you actually get out into the world and practice doing? Like, even just one small thing, like how could you just practice being vulnerable in one very small way today to begin breaking down the expectations and the patterns?
I know there's a lot of myths about life coaching and coaches. It's a relatively new branch, I guess you could say. I started out mainly as business coaches, and then it expanded into life coaching and so on. So there are a lot of maybe misconceptions out there, and could you dispel any of those myths for us?
Well, I think the one thing that I recently learned is that coaching has actually been around for quite some time.
Really?
I was kind of surprised to find that you know, it back in the 60s and 70s, businesses really became very focused on the organizational planning and using consultants as, you know, supporting their managers, supporting their executives in improving basically processes and performance. And then when Stephen Covey published The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, something kind of got turned on its head. The idea that we could actually focus on helping individuals and not just individuals in a business, but individuals in their lives, really became a new field for coaching. And it opened up the door to so many, possibilities. And now today, you have coaches who work in, authors and, work with authors. They work in health, right? I know coaches who work with mothers, right? Pretty much any area of life where you can feel stuck or like you're not really living up to what you want to be living up to, you can find a coach for. And I think that for the consumer side, becoming a wise consumer is that, the coaching industry and field is not highly regulated, as you all know. I mean, we have the ICF, but we're kind of working on building up the reputation and helping people become more and more aware of this as a viable option and how to be smart consumers in that. So they're not, just finding somebody who hung up the shingle and said, okay, I'm a coach. And I mean, there's a lot to be said for life experience. I definitely don't want to discount coaches who, I don't mean formal training. I just mean, you have something that backs up, what you're offering and what you're doing. So...
Right. Well, I know I'm very grateful for my training because, I started looking at people like Marcy Shimoff and Jack Canfield and Janet Atwood and saying, I want to be you. And then, and then I thought, why would anybody listen to me? Absolutely, life experience. I think we all come to it, to a certain extent, from our life experience. I mean, there's something that we struggled with that we've overcome, but I think most coaches are there. Come from that background. But I still really. In fact, that's how Kathleen and I met in our coach training. So, so that was fun too. Yeah. Well, all right. So then I learned something new there because, my understanding of it was that it really was relatively new. And I hadn't realized it had been around since the 60s.
Yeah.
So great. Well, let's talk more about your course, your 16 session course. This is something that you have recently kind of revamped. Is that correct?
Right. So at first Beyond Surviving course was actually in 2007. And so at that time, I had the other author's workbook and had built in, some of the conversations and techniques and strategies that I had been using in my own life. And it was interesting to just notice how, that windy path was actually really supporting me in the development of this program, having been a teacher, having done curriculum development, having, been in front of a classroom, so to speak. And so I really enjoyed, I held it, it was free, it was all women, and so for 3 years I held the program and, was revamping it all along the way, but when I went back to school, I kind of put it on hold, and then during the fall of 2011, I decided, okay, I really want to turn this a little bit on its head and take another look at it and give a go at writing my own book. Oy. And I don't know what made me think that was going to be fun. But no, I mean, actually, goodness gracious. So, here we are now. 2012. I was like, I'll just, whip this together. I'll be done.
Right.
Edit after edit. My dear book designer, I keep calling her, I swear this is the last edit, this is the last change, I swear. But it's finally really reached its place where I feel really good about the content and what it has to say. And I wrote it in such a way that people could use the guidebook on their own. And, but I also definitely use it with my clients and with my, groups. So I'm hoping to get another group together starting at the, July. And so those are in person. And with my individual clients, I meet with them by phone or by Skype. And we just go through the program. And while it's structured, while there's like a beginning, middle, and end, it's very individualized because the things that you bring to the table as the client that are your particular stories, your particular kind of false beliefs or struggles or main concerns, you know, we're going to focus on those things. And there may be some areas where you've really already done enough work there, so we, you know, we don't spend a lot of time on that. We just push along. So I'm really proud of it, and I'm really excited to have been able to pull together, you know, my story, these techniques, lessons I've learned, you know, along the way, to give people, you know, kind of a step-by-step guide. And what I mostly really love about the guidebook is that even if you haven't been abused, there are lots of techniques and strategies for just communicating and thinking about trust and thinking about intimacy that will be useful. And so I'm really thinking about helping the person as a whole, not just addressing the abuse. Like, that informs our journey, but it's actually thinking so much more about just who they are today, what they're up to, what they want to, you know, become, and how they can get there.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that, though this, you know, you have focused in on helping people with moving beyond something specific within this, you know, the experience of childhood sexual abuse, that what everything that you're describing is most definitely applicable to everyone, because I think that pretty much just living traumatizes you. And, you know, and I certainly would never, you know, take that particular experience and put it together with any other experience, you know. In minimizing it in any way. But you know, what you were explaining, Rachel, about how we get wired early in our mm-hmm. life. So something like that happening very early is most definitely something to, you know, being wired with a trauma like that is, you know, really something that you need to have someone help you through. Someone like, you know, who knows, like you do, and who also knows how the brain gets wired the way it does and why you are having the experience that you are as an adult. And what now you can do. You don't have to now live with it forever. You can, like you were saying, you don't want to just be surviving this thing. You want to get beyond the surviving where you're living now. That does not have to be something that's affecting you for the rest of your life, no matter how traumatic it is. So the fact that life kind of is traumatic to almost all of us because of the fact that, you know, before we knew it, in those very, very early years, heard things and witnessed things and experienced things that, you know, they were just not harmonious, say, or they weren't we all heard and witnessed things that were pretty tough on us when we were little, you know, and that's when the wiring occurs. So I love the fact that you're helping people to get beyond it into the living part where you can release it and it's not who you are anymore.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, and, you know, you're definitely right. It shows up in all sorts of areas of life, and that, you know, like my relationship coaching clients who are not survivors, but who come and have ideas like, you know, relationships mean I'm going to lose who I am. Well, where did you get that idea?
Right.
You know, where did that thought come from? And you dig back a little bit and notice, you know, oh, well, it was this moment when I, you know, saw my mother give up her life for, you know, her husband or my father, and she basically gave up her, you know, dream of whatever it was. And they came to understand that, you know, relationships were going to hold them back, that kind of a thing. You know, things around success, you know, just can I succeed? Will I be able to, you know, find my purpose and live out a life that I love? I often say that, you know, 90% of our struggle is not really finding the right thing to do or the right circumstances or, you know, putting it all together in the right way. It's really figuring out what's going on internally that's keeping us stuck. You know, we'll blame things. We'll look for external forces, like it was the abuse or it's
right.
me or it's my partner. And when you really dig down and look deeply, like, man, there's really a lot going on there about how you're thinking about your situation, how you're thinking about yourself and your others. That's really informing and shaping your experience.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Rachel, we're actually beyond the halfway mark here, so we want to take a
break.
A little bit of a break here and reintroduce who we are. We are Coach Cafe, the Law of Attraction place to meet on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m., where we invite inspiring and life-changing authors and teachers and coaches like Rachel Grant. And we'd like you, Rachel, to tell everyone how they can find out more about you and your program.
Okay. Visit my website at rachelgrantcoaching.com. You can always call me at 415-513-0700. And for any client who might be interested or want to learn more, I offer a 60-minute free discovery session, and they can, you know, at the website go and click the bubble there to schedule that so they can find a time and we can chat.
Excellent. And how about your book? Is that on Amazon, on your website?
It's available in a PDF version at this point, and they can receive that by giving me a call or email, and I'll take their payment information. I'm giving it out as a $10 PDF.
Nothing, oh, wonderful.
You know, very, very simple and easy and for people. And I hope to get the final designs all pulled together soon, and we'll have an ebook version available very soon.
Oh, that's great. That's a very easy, generous way of getting your book.
Oh, that really is.
Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it really, for me, it's at this point, it's really important that people just get the information, get the tools. You
mm-hmm.
know, in my mind, it's just, you know, it's staggering how many. I'm kind of like, I wish I could go out of business. You know, I hope there's one day when I can't make a living this way. But for the time being, you know, our culture and our community of women in particular, you know, are suffering under, you know, these experiences, because of these experiences. So, you know, it's better to get the information out there and help them and make sure they have it in their hand.
Well, thank you for that. That's really commendable.
That's great.
Yeah.
Crystal, do you work exclusively with women, or do you work also with
men? No. And what's wonderful and amazing to me is that actually quite a few of my clients recently have been men. There's beginning, just as there had to be a shift for women to become comfortable and confident and feel safe about talking about abuse and identifying themselves. You know, this same trend has, you know, had to happen for men, and more stories are being told by men. There's really been a surge of publication books written by male survivors, and they're coming out a little bit more, and so seeking me out and other opportunities for healing. And I think this is another reason why coaching is really great, in particular for male survivors. Because the dynamic is one where they can really be in a collaborative effort, they can really feel a bit of confidence and success and authorship around their journey, which is a very important aspect, I think, for male survivors to be able to move into owning that aspect of who they are. So I've been really excited about that. And the groups that I do, I usually do just, you know, one gender at a time. And at this point, I've only done the course with women. They seem to turn out more so for that experience. But I would love to get a group of men together and be able to go through the program. I think there's such a great benefit of survivors being able to sit down together, share their stories, learn from each other, notice, oh, I'm not that crazy? Like, wow, okay, this, you know, we've all done that. You know, we all have that thought, it's my fault. We've all had that, you know, struggle. And so it demystifies the abuse and just the power of being able to tell your story and say it out loud with people who you can feel confident, you know, comfortable with is really transforming.
Now, do you do your groups, are these online or are they, you know, like a, you know, physical space together, face-to-face or both?
They are in person. So the individual coaching, if I'm working with just one client, we talk by phone or by Skype. And I would like to run the groups basically 2 to 3 times a year and have those in person, a maximum of 8 participants. You know, I'm toying with the idea of doing some weekend workshops that might be either webinar and only specifically address, you know, one particular topic that's covered in the Beyond Surviving course. So take just the topic of, say, trust and do a weekend workshop on that. So, you know, there's lots of room and opportunities. I'm thinking of lots of different ways to kind of pull the material and the information together so that people can access it as easily, you know, easily as possible.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, to be able to help so many more people through those venues, you know, is really wonderful. Is really wonderful. No doubt that the face-to-face, that whole aspect of that where you have the energy part present is, you know, the benefit is really obvious. But being able to have a webinar to help people that you would not been able to because of distance and that kind of thing is just wonderful that we have that ability. And, Rachel, for those who are survivors of abuse, what are some of the first steps they can take towards recovery?
Well, I think the very, very first step is to identify where you are on in your journey. So I really think of recovery as being these three stages of victim, survivor, and beyond surviving. And so victim, that essentially means that you are really still being victimized. Maybe you're still in an abusive relationship, or you just haven't been able to really identify yourself as somebody who was abused. You haven't ever talked about it. You haven't ever acknowledged it. It's just something that it's kind of that, you know, ghost in the closet kind of a thing. The survivor is somebody who has been able to start processing the abuse and talk about it and has shared their story a few times, maybe been in therapy, done some work, had some great insights, made some progress, but they're just not quite all the way, you know, at that place of living as fully as they would like to be. And so, you know, I like, you know, the term survivor is definitely much better than victim, but it doesn't quite go far enough. So, you know, for me, I really believe that the wounds of abuse can be healed. I describe it as, you know, you can see the scar that was created, but you don't continue to feel the pain or have to compensate. And so making that shift from survivor to beyond surviving is how to do that. And so knowing where you are is very important, because if you get into a program like mine, which will be kind of confronting in some ways, compassionately, but it's not just about insights and reflection, you know, and you're not ready for that, that can be a real struggle. And so, you know, if you're an adult survivor of sexual abuse who's no longer really kind of satisfied with just simply understanding the impact of the abuse and the connections, but you really are ready to move on into the next phase of your life and get complete about the abuse, then a program like mine is really good.
One of the things that I was going to bring up, right on her website, she indicates a couple of things here that we certainly have discussed on Coach Cafe, in that, she helps her clients to identify and break the patterns of thought and behavior that keep them from recovering from past abuse or making changes in their relationships. And one of the things she has right on her website is what you think you create.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the fact that as a, you know, she's got her degree in counseling psychology, and she's a coach, and she's also bringing up something that we have most definitely brought out in our shows and with other guests about this aspect of our life here, that what you think you create. Maybe discuss a little bit about that, how you're bringing that into your coaching.
Well, it definitely goes back to this idea that the experiences that we have, we don't ever do anything without having a thought prior to it.
Right.
So whenever you decide to even just move your hand, right, there's,
mm-hmm.
there are neurons that are firing that cause you to be able to move your hand. So the same thing with a thought, with deciding, you know, I'm going to, any behavior or action that is emotionally based is the same thing. And so what happens is that we might go to a party, right? And we walk into the party and we basically go and sit in the corner and we don't talk to anyone and we don't engage. And when I work with a client like that and we dig down and like, okay, well, what's going on? What's the fear or concern? You know, the thought that's happening there is something like, I won't be liked. I won't be
mm-hmm.
accepted, or I don't know how to act in public, right? They have all sorts of negative ideas about who they are. I'm not interesting. People won't, you know, like my story, that kind of a thing. And sometimes it's helpful to kind of cycle back into the past to figure out, well, you know, when did you decide that? When did that, you know, when what experience or what moment was there where that became really clear to you, or an idea that you decide that you have about who you are. And so what happens is it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So they walk
right.
in the door with, I'm not, you know, interesting. People aren't going to like me. And then they go and they sit in the corner. So their thought has influenced their behavior.
Right.
And then people don't engage. People ignore them and they leave the party going, see, people
right.
don't find me interesting,
right?
And so basically, essentially, what they have thought has created now their experience. And, you know, and I temper this by saying I'm not one of the believers in, you know, if you think anything, you can do
right.
it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If I begin thinking really strongly that I'm, a runway model, you know, I'm cute, but that's not in my future. So it's careful. You have to be, like, really careful to think about, you know, not just what you are thinking. It should be tempered. It should be
mm-hmm.
positive, informative, freeing. But don't – any thought that you put on yourself that's so far extreme is still a limiting thought, right? It's just as limiting as a negative thought. Something like, I should be – as beautiful as a runway model, or I should be achieving that, is just as negative and harmful as I'm, you know, ugly and nobody
right,
finds me attractive.
Right.
And no amount of thinking that you'll be a runway model is going to make that happen. So with that little caveat, of course, what we say flows, you know, from our thoughts and from our mind. And the Buddhist text, there is a saying that language has not only the power to inform our character, but is a lever for shifting it. And that's why, you know, this idea of positive thinking, positive affirmations, you know, for me, it's not just about making you feel warm and fuzzy and good. It actually really is about shifting your view of who you are and shifting your experience in the world.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's really, yeah, that's central, I think. You know, how we view ourselves is basically, again, what we experience in the world. So, yeah, that's at the core.
Right.
Right, because you could, maybe you can help us, Rachel. I think, you know, some of what you were saying before is really an education that we all need to understand, too, about how running in the background, what you were explaining before,
mm-hmm.
how we can have these programs that are running in the background that have an effect on us. And so, therefore, you know, you could say over and over again, you know, something to yourself wanting to believe that, but if there's a program running in the background that's mm-hmm. going to prevent you from believing it,
yeah.
you know, what do you do about that? And how
right.
do you
so
get to how do you get to that core belief that's running in the background for us?
Right. Okay. Well, so the first thing to first of all identify a false belief, essentially just sit down quietly for 5 minutes and they'll start to pop up. Whenever you're in a situation where you're feeling particularly anxious or upset, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time our upset comes because we are in our stories. We are in our beliefs about who we are. It's not actually really about what's going on.
Okay.
And so spending some time just simply in reflection and beginning to notice, okay, when I'm in this situation, what is the actual thought that's going on? A good way to access it is also to ask yourself the question, what's my fear or concern?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go, it's like, I don't want to go to this party. You're feeling anxious, you're feeling nervous about going.
Right.
Asking yourself the question, you know, what's my fear or concern about that will help you begin, you know, and so sometimes you might take it to you might say something like, I don't want to go to the party because I'm not sure if I'll have a good time. Right. Well, that doesn't tell us anything else. Okay. Well, if you don't have a good time, what might be happening to not that you wouldn't be having a good time? You know, nobody's talking to me. Why wouldn't anyone be talking to you? Oh, because, you know, I'm not interesting. And so you kind of burrow down and down
uh-huh.
and down and down. And so, you know, it's hard to do that on your own.
Yes,
and
it is.
You know, part of the reason why, like, you know, it's good to have me on the outside with my clients because I can hear that in their talking. You know, for example, today a client was mentioning that, you know, something with just very, very glossed over, like, you know, my boyfriend does this, this, and this, and then, you know, and I have to tell him things over and over again. And I picked up on, well, what is it about having to tell him things over and over again that causes you to get, you know, upset? She said, well, he's not listening to me.
Right.
I said, all right, well, if he's not listening to you, what does that mean, though? Oh, well, it means that, you know, I'm not worth his time, I'm not loved, he doesn't care about me. So, like, there's
okay.
the under, like, that's it.
Right.
Okay. All right, so now you've identified a false belief. You've got it, you're like, okay, I see what's running the show here. I have this general idea that people, you know, I'm not lovable.
Right.
So the first thing is to completely just turn that on its head and start saying the opposite. As silly as it feels, as foreign as it feels, The first point of entry is just simply language. To just start saying, I am lovable, I am lovable, I am lovable. And, you know, out loud, one of the beautiful things about speaking out loud is our brain interacts with audible sound very differently from when we're just thinking it in our head. And so we actually get it much more deeply when we hear it than
yes.
when we just
yeah.
think it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now that's not enough. Right? That's just like the first step. The second step is to then start noticing all of those moments when you go to that story and replacing it. So the next time the boyfriend comes over and she says something and then 10 minutes later she has to repeat it, instead of going to, oh, see, I'm not lovable, staying in the moment, staying in, oh, maybe he didn't hear me, or, you know, maybe he was distracted by the TV, or maybe he has ADD, like looking for the other reasons for why things are happening.
Right.
And it's not because all of this, I mean, you could do something completely implausible, like maybe he was abducted by aliens for a second and just didn't hear me. The point, the reason why we do this is because it causes the brain to pause.
Right.
It's
right,
that,
right.
That little moment when instead of just going boom left, the brain goes hiccup, wait a minute, what? And
uh-huh.
in that moment, when you do that, the wiring for I am unlovable, I am not cared for, it starts to weaken.
Right.
And then if you come right into that moment and go, oh, yeah, I remember this, I'm lovable, even if he didn't hear me, even if I have to repeat myself, it doesn't mean I'm not lovable, I am lovable. And there you go. And the more you do that, the more you practice that, the weaker and weaker those connections become. And the more often your experience is, instead of feeling unloved and uncared for, you feel loved, you feel powerful, and so then what happens? You walk into your relationship with your partner feeling confident, feeling secure, and it's not dependent upon anything that he does or says.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's just who you are.
Yeah. That was
and
awesome.
So then you're,
yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, good. I'll stop
information.
There.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. It was just that was great. That we're ending the show on a note that was really, really powerful, Rachel. Thank you so much for explaining that, because a lot of people have to understand that that is how that's how we do things here. This is what we do to ourselves. So we're literally down to a minute. I'm sorry where we had those glitches throughout the show, and I hope you'll join us again, because what we're ending with is what could be a great beginning of another show to help us. And you, the way you're explaining it is so clear. It's wonderful. So thank you, Rachel Grant, for joining us. Again, you can reach her at rachelgrantcoaching.com. Please take advantage of being able to download her wonderful book. Can you tell us the title again?
Oh, it's Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. And if anyone wants that, to get a copy of that, they can just call me or email me, and I will get their contact information, their payment information, and send it over.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Rachel, and thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Rachel.
Please join us again next
week. Have a good night,
you too.
You too.
And join us again next week in the Coach Cafe. Thanks, Estra.
Thanks, Kathleen. Bye.
Good night, everyone.